A shaky ceasefire continues to hold in Ukraine. That's despite reports of sporadic shelling from both Ukrainian troops and separatist rebels. That truce went into effect on Friday evening, and there are hopes it's going to allow some breathing space for the parties, kind of ease tensions so that a political solution can be reached if there's one to be had. That five-month conflict has claimed the lives of 3,000 people. But in the backdrop, it's still dark. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko is declaring never to cede territory in eastern Ukraine. Separatists there refuse to report back to Kiev. And the EU is slapping a round of new sanctions on Russia. So can this fragile truce hold, let alone negotiate a legitimate compromise? Joining us is Michael Bercherkiw, spokesperson for the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe Special Monitoring Mission to Ukraine. Mr. Bercherkiw, welcome.
Hello, good to be with you.
What is the current status of the ceasefire that I mentioned?
Well, I guess the best way to describe it is a bit fragile at the moment. Over the past 3 to 4 days since that Minsk agreement, there have been quite serious incidents in Donetsk, the main city in the east, especially around the airport, in the crucial port city of Mariupol, and near Luhansk, which is another major city near the Russian border. And the type of incidents we're talking about is quite heavy shelling as well as small arms fire. So, clearly this isn't what one would expect from a ceasefire.
But you consider, I'll call them skirmishes that might be underselling it. You consider them limited and manageable in the broader context of a truce?
They are isolated, and as a special monitoring mission to Ukraine, what we're looking for, obviously, is safety and security for our monitors to go around to monitor the ceasefire. And, for that to happen, we need arms to be put down. We need checkpoints to disappear. We haven't quite seen that yet, and we have about 60 specialists with particular experience in monitoring ceasefires in that region. And, most of that reporting has been about these kind of skirmishes or limited area shelling.
So this truce is supposed to provide the breathing space for a discussion of a political settlement, as I mentioned. Are the parties breathing right now? Is Kiev and the separatists and the Russians, or are they still huffing at each other in a way that's not going to allow a real discussion?
The forum that is being used is the so-called trilateral contact group. It includes senior representatives from the Russian and Ukrainian governments and also the OSCE. So those discussions are ongoing with the rebel groups. And, you have, as anywhere, good days and bad days in terms of the discussions, but I think there's quite a bit of hope in the air. And, what we like to emphasize too, of course, almost hidden in the headlines is the humanitarian cost to ordinary people. Hundreds of thousands of people have fled that region of Ukraine because of the violence. And with the change of weather coming, it's going to be fall and then winter soon. It's very, very important that, calm comes to that area so people can get back to their homes and their livelihoods.
Is there a humanitarian intervention or help on the way since fall and winter are coming if that call you just made isn't met?
Yeah, well, in Luhansk city, half the population there has fled, and there's been no power, water, or gas for quite some time now, so you can imagine how bad things are. And our monitors did report the other day that the ICRC did attempt to deliver humanitarian aid, but they were unable to because of fears of a mined bridge. So it's those types of complexities on the ground that are really going to make it difficult in this current environment to get people back up on their feet and back into their homes. There's a lot of work to be done also in terms of rehabilitation of infrastructure, roads, bridges, railways, apartment buildings that have been shelled. It's a very dire situation.
And on the ground, are your monitors, your inspectors, as it were, getting the cooperation they need in the hot areas to monitor the ceasefire in an effective way?
Yes, we've had fairly good mobility. We've been on the ground here in Ukraine for over 4 months, and our relationships with the rebel groups, as well as, of course, the Ukrainian government, who, in fact, indeed invited us here, are quite good. So it's very important to have that face-to-face contact, those contacts on the ground. And I think, we've reached a point where we're a known entity, where we're trusted, and it's really comes down to our daily reporting. Our job is to establish the facts and distribute the information we see. So you can imagine how crucial that's going to be as the ceasefire progresses.
Mikhail Borchyrkyu's organization is on the front lines of a shaky truce and ceasefire between Ukraine and Russian-backed separatists in eastern Ukraine. He's spokesperson for the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, the special monitoring mission in Ukraine. Mr. Borchyrkyu, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.